And it's not easy to stop yelling. For me, some of us, it's ingrained. I was raised by multiple families, and it seems like every family that I was in had some form of very stern yelling or some sort of harsh discipline. It was how I was raised. Now, some of us, we have a lot of words, and if those words are not heard, sometimes we feel like we have to make them come out, and we have to make them come out loudly in order to be heard. But my friends, this is where I want to encourage you to kind of shift your thinking. It took me years to realize this. It didn't need to be that way.
Welcome to the Society's Child podcast, where we have real conversations about being a trauma-responsive educator in the midst of a significant mental health crisis. Hi, I'm Trish Senzak, a former educator, compassion advocate, and Jesus lover, and I'm so grateful that you're here. Are you feeling confuzzled about your students' behavior and needs? You're not alone. If trauma-informed strategies leave you wondering, what's next? Don't worry. My friend, I've been there too. As a foster mom and a child of complex trauma mixed with my experience as a teacher, it's led me to finding a compassionate, whole child approach that's evidence-based, practical, and transformational, and I'm so eager to share it with you. Whether you want to connect with your students on a deeper level, create a trauma-sensitive environment, or you just need a little bit of encouragement or support, you're in the right place. So grab a drink, a pen, or your earbuds, and let's work together to create a safe and student-attuned, trauma-responsive school culture. Society's children need you. So let's get started.
So I used to be a yeller. When I'm stressed, pushed against the wall, or I really feel like my words or things that I'm trying to express are not being heard, my go-to reaction is to scream or to yell or to get extremely frustrated with the kids in front of me. Now that used to be my go-to. It took me years to kind of realize and come to a different understanding of how damaging it is to kids. And it's not easy to stop yelling. For me, some of us, it's ingrained. I was raised by multiple families, and it seems like every family that I was in had some form of very stern yelling or some sort of harsh discipline. It was how I was raised. Now, some of us, we have a lot of words, and if those words are not heard, sometimes we feel like we have to make them come out, and we have to make them come out loudly in order to be heard. But my friends, this is where I want to encourage you to kind of shift your thinking. It took me years to realize this. It didn't need to be that way. So for example, it can have an emotional impact, basically leaving them with feelings of fear or feelings of shame or even increased anxiety in kids. And then it can erode their self-esteem and their confidence, basically leading to a negative self-image. Psychologically, it can cause psychological issues such as PTSD or post-traumatic stress disorder, depression and anxiety disorders, so it can exacerbate into that. And sometimes it can even hinder the development of healthy coping mechanisms or problem-solving skills. And so we can see that sometimes kids who are really exposed to this a lot frequently may exhibit behavioral changes such as aggression, defiance, or withdrawal, and even struggle academically or socially. And the stress from them being yelled at can even impair their focus, or it can impair their ability to have positive relationships with peers and adults. Speaking of the impact on relationships, this can even pour over into being yelled at by an adult, can make it harder for them to even think about being supportive or supported by a particular teacher. If a teacher is yelling or an educator is really down on them all the time and noticing and pointing out things constantly, and there's a constant yelling there, those walls go up and that nurturing bond and that safe environment decreases. I really want to encourage you that if you are a yeller like me, you really start to change your perspective on how this can be done differently. Find ways to effectively address behavioral issues so that they don't cause harm to these kids' well-being and their development. So why do we yell? Many times it's stress and frustration and heightened emotional responses when we're overwhelmed. And oh my goodness, I think the word overwhelmed is a synonymous word with teaching and education. And some of us just may resort to a way of yelling to release that pent-up tension or regain a sense of control. And speaking of control, many times We feel out of control when our classes are chaotic and we can't get them to settle down, or we're being looked at by administration. We're having a hard time bringing the classroom back into some sense of order. That feeling and that need to control, or that pressure from the outside, could also lead to that stress and frustration. Some of us, like I said earlier, many of us are modeling behavior that we learned. If we grew up in that kind of an environment, we might feel like it's just an appropriate response. We didn't, quote, turn out bad, so why not? And so we may just unconsciously replicate what was done to us. Some of us just might have a lack of communication skills. Maybe yelling is just a substitute for being able to get your point across quickly. Maybe there are certain situations where you feel unheard or misunderstood, and it's just the way you do it. You just raise your voice to assert your point or to get your frustration out, and you don't have the tools to do it any differently. Some of us just have a difficult time, this was me, have a difficult time managing emotions and regulating my emotions and my moods. When I was stressed, it came out as yelling, and I took it out on the students around me. And sometimes I would have a difficult time identifying any feelings that were in a constructive manner. And I just didn't have the tools to bring that back and rein it in or externalize. For some of us, it may be a perceived, let's say, lack of control or a perceived threat. Maybe we're feeling threatened, or we don't realize it, but we need to control something. And I mentioned this a moment ago. So basically that triggers this fight flight feeling, and as it does in our kids, and it prompts us to raise our voice as a means to be dominant or exert our authority or defend ourselves. And it's very common in high stakes confrontational situations. So if our students are confronting us, yes, or if our students are being really disrespectful and it's making us feel like we are having to exert our dominance in some way, of course, that would definitely come across as something that would make us yell. Sometimes we yell because it's just what's been done in our culture. It's just part of the expectation. For me, I grew up and that felt like it was an expectation of just what we should do. In some cultures, or maybe some social context, yelling is seen as culturally acceptable, and or even an expressed, or it's a common way or an expected way of expressing emotions or resolving conflicts. And so things escalate quickly, and individuals feel compelled to yell in order to conform to those norms. And that's not common, I don't think, but I think it's may not be as much cultural as much as it's social in the way we've been brought up. And it kind of goes with what I was saying earlier about it's just what we've always known. And that kind of leads into the last one, is just habitual behavior. Sometimes it can just be a habitual response. We just might automatically do that as a response. And it's really more of a reactive thing where we just react to the stress that's inside of us, react to the need to reinforce something through repetition, and it gets louder and louder and we begin to yell. And even if we recognize that yelling isn't effective or desirable, which this is kind of where I was, if I'm breaking that habit, it really involves a conscious effort and it really involves a lot of practice. And that's kind of where I've been. It wasn't until I came into some content that really helped me in understanding trauma. And I realized as a mom and as a teacher, I probably had my share of traumatizing kids on my own because of the way I spoke to them, spoke down to them, was disrespectful to them, yelling at them, shaming them. And it wasn't until I came to understand these underlying factors and I started to look at my own triggers and develop healthier coping strategies and communication skills that I began to start to address this and be a little bit more effective. And so this is what I want to encourage educators to do. You can seek alternative ways. You can be more constructive in your approaches to discipline and communication. And basically, it's all about supporting the kids' healthy growth and development and setting that safe, nurturing environment in our classroom. So what can you do, and how did I go about this? I broke the habit of yelling, and I can't say that I'm perfect because sometimes it's, like I said a minute ago, it can be our go-to reaction when we get stressed. But I started by recognizing triggers and basically identifying situations or things that would lead up to my yelling. I would step back and take a moment to assess, what are the things that are actually happening that lead up to this? What's causing me the stress? What are my triggers or things that help me to anticipate that my next response is going to be this, or my next action is going to be this? So I could then manage my responses more effectively. That is one of the hardest things to do. Let me just tell you right now, it's not easy to do this. And then the next thing would be to practice some self-regulation. We're talking to our kids all the time in the trauma-informed world about regulating their emotions and regulating their thoughts and thinking about what's going on inside of our body. Well, we kind of have to do the same thing. We have to learn that information and apply it to our own self and our own life so that we can have tools for self-regulation and our own stress management. Maybe we need to take on some deep breathing and some mindfulness, take short breaks when we're frustrated with something or feeling overwhelmed. Basically, these kinds of things will help us in those times to stay calm and composed. Now, in those challenging situations, if we're not practicing this when it's not heated, it's going to be very difficult to just suddenly start doing this. So we have to start doing it just like with our kids in a downtime. The next thing I would encourage you to do is I had to start thinking about, okay, when this is said, I'm going to respond this way. And like I said a minute ago, unless we're practicing this in times when we're not overwhelmed and we're not stressed, we're not going to know, we're not going to be able to go to it. It's like our memory has not been built for that yet. So instead of yelling, we can develop alternative responses such as whispering or giving clear instructions or saying a certain set of words over and over again. And that way there are supportive and encouraging phrases that we might say. We might also take time when we're not stressed to even role play or practice those with someone that's safe so that it feels more natural when you're doing it. I've had to do some of these very important things because it's really been a struggle for me to kind of undo a lot of this. And as I've learned the trauma-informed strategies, I've started applying it. And it's been a good learning curve for me. And I've really had to also seek out accountability, talk to people who could hold me accountable, run these things by them. I've had to find somebody to coach me through a lot of my mindset and my talking around a lot of this. And so it's been important for me to engage with colleagues and mentors and people who kind of have gone before me. And so as we used to say in the recovery world, we find someone to work with us who has what we want. So if you look at what they're doing and you think that looks easy to you, you make that look easy. Maybe you need to ask them for some help to kind of guide you through, well, how do you do that? That accountability and that support, if it's a trusted mentor, can go miles and miles and miles. And all of these training workshops and development things that you're doing, little pieces will start to fall into place as you begin to speak about it and really reflect and learn exactly what you're doing. I want to remind you, and this is where I want to have a little compassion with you if you're in this situation. Breaking the habit of yelling takes so much time, so much patience, so much perseverance. But my friends, with dedication and support, if you truly set your mind to saying, you know what, I'm doing more harm than good to these kids, there's an intention that we set inside. And I think we can start to pray for that direction so that we have a more positive, nurturing, learning environment. And we set that as our goal. And we really start working on how we can influence our kids and our students the way that we want it to happen. Again, this is through self-reflection and awareness, kind of looking at your own, developing your own coping strategies, and basically having good positive communication techniques that you're going to do when you don't know that you're going to do it. Really seeking that accountability and support through the professional development with all of the trauma-informed stuff, all of that's going to work well. And so by taking these concrete steps to physically starting with ourselves and working on this, it creates a better relationship with our kids. And we can begin to break the habit of yelling and one more relationship. It's like one more relationship at a time. And we can create that supportive learning environment for students and ourselves and our relationships between each other. It takes consistency. It takes patience. It takes perseverance. And most of all, my friends, it takes grace with yourself. So now when I have the urge to yell, I have strategies in place. And here's what some of them look like for me. First, I have to think about, do I want to be spoken to in the way that I'm speaking to this child? When I think of it that way, that is a thought that goes through my head. Do I want to be on the other side of me right now with this pointed, sarcastic, yelling, screaming, whatever's coming out of my mouth? Do I want to be on the other side of that? Would that feel respectful coming out of someone else's mouth to me? The next thing I do is I recall the look or a look that my son or child or student or whoever I'm speaking to in that moment gave me at a time when I screamed at them. And there are some looks when I just, when it went beyond, I knew I had just really, really damaged the spirit. And that look haunts me. And so if I can recall that time that I dinged his soul or dinged that student's soul, or I've had comments that students have made to me about my behavior, screaming or yelling or whatever, when I can recall that, it stops me in my tracks. The third thing that I'll do is I'll ask myself, what is it that I really want to do in this moment? Do I want to shame them? Do I want to make sure that my word is heard? Do I want my voice to be loud? And I really try to concretely think, what am I really trying to do in this moment? And then fourth, I consider my triggers. What's got me triggered right now? Am I stressed? Am I overwhelmed? Or do I have halt going on? Hungry, angry, lonely, tired? Any of those? Is there something that's going on outside of my life that's not affecting my students and I'm taking it out on my students because that's a culmination of where we are and it's just my response, or it's really a reaction instead of a gentle response? What are the triggers? What's going on for me? Is there something outside of this situation or relationship that is feeding into this energy and anger that I'm putting upon these students? And then fifth, I try to realize that more is caught than taught. And if I will be careful as I'm speaking to these kids and let them just learn from me, am I teaching them that yelling is the way? Or do I want to teach them a respectful conversation and communication style can get the same exact point across? Whatever I'm trying to get across to them, I want to do it in a respectful manner. I want to do it in a good communication style. So if I think about that idea of what do I want to teach them? What do I want to come across from this moment? This is everything I'm doing with my students. It's a teaching moment. It's a learning moment. And they're watching me. I don't have to tell them any instructions, but my behavior is modeling it. And so if we're trying to have good communication skills with our kids, or we want them to have good communication skills, we have to begin to model that. My friends, I hope that this is helpful. I hope it's something that you will have grace with yourself on. It has taken me a long time to get to a place. The first thing I did was became aware that I had a problem. It is something that all of a sudden I just kind of woke up to one day and learning all the trauma-informed information. And I realized I needed to stop yelling. And then I started talking about this to mentors and accountability partners and people, and realizing that my way of communicating with my kids was not good. And it also didn't help that I had a colleague who taught next door to me. To this day, does not let me live it down. I think I was in my early 20s, and he still to this day, whenever we meet in public, he will say something like, yeah, I taught next door to you, and we were both yelling at our kids, and da da da. And that was the last thing I wanted to be remembered for. I didn't want to be remembered for yelling and trying to control my class through a lot of yelling. It was something that I didn't learn till probably in my 40s, that yelling doesn't need to take place. And I want something better for my kids. I want something better for the people on the opposite side of me. I want to be able to be a gentle breeze instead of a raging storm. And so I hope that you find something in this episode helpful. And if you're really struggling for this and you really are looking for an accountability partner, don't have someone personally that you can go to, and you would like to have someone privately, I would love to do a consultation session with you, maybe just 30 minutes to kind of see what direction you need to go. I do coach people on the side so that if you are looking for someone to kind of hold you accountable, give you some new wisdom and skills, email me, societieschildpodcast@gmail.com. I would love to help you, because ultimately it's going to help the kids. And then we could talk about maybe how we could work together and kind of go from there. You can also find me in my Facebook group, and I welcome all Christian educators in there. And it's called Society's Child, Create a Trauma-Responsive Educational Setting. And it's got podcasts in the parentheses. And I would love to have you in there. I'd love to have you checking it out. I do daily affirmations in there for Christian educators. Come on in there and even engage with me on Facebook. I would love to be able to help you through this, because, my friends, this has not been an easy battle for me to overcome. And I know it's not for you either. But I am convinced that if we can all get on the same bandwagon of being calm, kind, compassionate, composed, and regulated in the way we respond to the kids instead of react to them, we will be well on our way to create a trauma-responsive environment on all of our campuses. So if that's you, my friend, please don't hesitate to reach out. Until next time, stay teach-tastic.
If you're looking for ways to build more peace in your career, I've created a list of 75 affirmations based on 25 Bible scriptures, and I'd love to share it with you and help you keep your sanity. You can go to trishz.com/Bible-AFFS, that's AFFS, for affirmations. I'll also leave the link in the show notes for you, too. Until next time, my friend, stay grounded, stay regulated, and stay prayed up.
Hey, amazing educators, thanks for tuning in.
If you found this episode helpful, I'd love for you to hit subscribe and leave a review. Even better, share this episode with a colleague. And hey, I'd love to connect with you on social media. You can even join my Facebook group for some extra support and a dash of inspiration. I've left all the links in the show notes. Until next time, my friend, remember, you're not alone on this journey. You've got this. Keep making a difference and stay teach-tastic.